There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Hollywood Casino in Charlestown, West Virginia. March's dining special events include March Mania food and drink packages in the Sportsbook the 21st through the 24th. Details and reservations at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com. Must be 21 to enter the casino floor and attend a show. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. The zany voice cast of Animaniacs cracks up the Weinberg Center in Frederick, Maryland this Saturday night. They join me to preview the show and reflect on creating such iconic voices as Pinky in the Brain and Yakko Warner, as well as dozens of characters from other animated shows from G.I. Joe to the Ninja Turtles. Hey, welcome all you Animaniacs. Why don't we take turns introducing yourselves?
Hi, my name is Rob Paulson, and I'm Yakko and Pinky. Narf.
I'm Maurice LaMarche. I'm the voice of the brain. Yes, of TV's Animaniacs and Pinky in the Brain. And a bunch of other stuff.
I'm Randy Rogel. I'm the guy who writes them, and these are the guys who sing them and perform them.
It's going to be the Animaniacs in concert. Going to be at the Weinberg Center in my hometown of Frederick, Maryland, Saturday, March 23rd. So how does this work? Is it all three of you on stage? Is there like Randy, you like a piano while the others are singing, or how does it work?
Oh, it's really a wonderful show. If you like, you know, because it's full of songs and it's full of animation, wonderful animation, tremendous performances. And these, you know, both Rob and Maurice are, you know, very accomplished and very busy voiceover artists. I mean, half the voices, you know, from listening to television movies, you can attribute to Rob and Maurice. They do so much. So it's a show that celebrates, Animaniacs, which was a show that ran back in the 1990s, produced jointly by Warner Brothers and Steven Spielberg, was a real top show. And it just, the whole show is filled with stories about how the show got made and, the songs that are from the show performed. But we also do things like, do you want to hear a song they killed and they wouldn't let us do? Or you want to hear the original lyrics that we did that they made us change? So you really get inside the show. But it's a real fun evening of comedy, of laughter, music, and animation.
I love it. How long have you been doing this tour? Because I obviously grew up watching the show and loved it. But how long has the Animaniacs in concert thing been going on?
It's just been going on now. Kind of steadily for about 10 years, right, Randy? I mean, 2000.
Yeah, what happened is Rob was actually responsible because Rob and Reese, they're in front of the fans at all these Comic Cons and, you know, they make lots of personal appearances. And Rob told me, Randy, everywhere I go, they always ask me to sing these songs, you know. And Rob has a very successful podcast called Talking Tunes, and they wanted him to do a live one up at Universal. So he did it with Maurice. And it did very well. They asked me to do another one. Tell me if I'm telling this wrong, Rob. And so Rob, I live near there. He said, let's just go up and sit at the piano and sing those songs and we'll wing it. And we did. And we sold it out. It just kept happening. So then your agent at the time, Rob, said, I think this is a show.
Right. That's exactly right.
It was a divergence from format, too.
Yeah.
Because people were coming and they were used to Rob and another voice actor, which is always entertaining and lots of voices, obviously. So, you know, when we heard it was going to be Randy at the piano, we went, oh, this will be different, this will be great. We all came out,
yeah,
all the writing staff and all the, you know, so many actors in the audience, because we all love Randy's songs. And it was just a little electric piano on stage, and they wung it, as they say.
Yeah.
And it ended up being the germ of the show you see now, and it's so much fun.
It really is. And as Randy is want to say, and he's correct, you don't really need to know about Animaniacs. You don't even need to know Randy's music. you will know Randy's music when you hear it, and it will become utterly ingrained in your brain and your pinky. And
exactly.
And it really is remarkable. It's very easy, obviously, for me to sing the praises literally of my two brothers in showbiz here, but not all the time. I'd rather say, I'm really struggling with my English. It is not every show that is literally lightning in a bottle, where you kind of put together and go, oh my goodness, this is a great group of people, both on both sides of the glass, with a full orchestra, Randy's inimitable talent, and a bunch of cool actors, with Steven Spielberg, you know, controlling the whole shooting match, and our friend Tom Ruger and his absolutely.
He's got created the show.
Yeah.
He created the animated show. Hey, can I add something else to what Rob said? Because I think it's important to your listeners. You don't have to know my music. Certainly, you don't have to know Animaniacs, but you also don't have to be a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, this isn't a kid's show. This is a whole family show.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I will say the show grew because when we started it, we went to our first gig was with the Colorado Symphony. Remember, Ron?
Yeah.
And we you know, nobody knew us, but we were gradually growing. COVID kind of shut us down. Remember that for a couple of years? Yeah. But then we added Maurice.
COVID? Hang on. It's ringing a bell.
What was that again? It didn't just alter our world forever.
Yeah.
What was
that? Everything. Again? All our concerts got canceled, but then we came back. We added Maurice as a permanent part of the show now. And, you know, we've had a chance to, like, over these years to really perfect it. And, I mean, we have just exploded. How many – we've done, I think, 47 concerts between July and coming up to here at the end of April.
Yeah, right? Almost 50. Like,
yeah, I mean, the show has really exploded. And I think because people now know what it is, and social media shows what it is. And the word of mouth has really gotten out there. So if you're – you know, anyway, that's the story of the show.
Oh, it's going to be so, so much fun. So, Randy, you actually wrote that theme. We're
Animaniacs. No. I did not write the theme. I mean, we're Animaniacs. No. That was written by Richard Stone. He wrote the music. He was the musical director and conductor. And then Tom Ruger, who created the show and ran the writer's room and was he was in charge of the show. He wrote the lyrics to the Animaniacs theme song and to the those two also wrote the Pinky and the Brain. Right. Theme song, the Pinky and the Brain. I wrote the songs that are in the show. I didn't write all of them, but I wrote many of the songs that were in the body of the show.
Yes, Randy wrote one song that is a bit of an earwig that goes to United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru.
Of course.
Right now, Jason's going, what?
That no, wrote- I remember. Yeah. I remember all this. You kidding me?
How about that? Yeah, ma'am. So, yeah, Randy, you will hear... your ears will be regaled to the audio heroine of Randy Rogel.
We probably do, what, about 20, 22 musical?
25 songs. It's pretty cool. Musical, yeah. One after another, after another, after another.
What's and another one? Do you have another of the Panama? You did the Panama and rung a million bells when you sang that whole thing. What's another ditty we might remember?
The universe. Oh, Rob is the one who sings them all.
It's a great big universe, and we are all really puny. We're just tiny little specks about the size of Mickey Rooney. He wrote the Capitals. He wrote the President.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
He wrote, I'm cute. I'm mad. I'm really, really, really mad.
You run over here to the piano.
Amazing, Jason. That is not hyperbole. I mean, it you want to be thrilled and amazed, and you will see that the mean age of the audience is probably 40, 45. Yeah. People my age and people 10 or 11 years old. It is one of those shows that has transcended generations, and it is due in no small part to our friend Randy's music.
I love it.
These
guys hit it over the fence.
Yeah. We had a gentleman come up the other night and said he never saw the show. He came with his grown daughter who used to watch it. He said, I've never seen your show. I don't know cartoons. I love this. So it's a peek behind the curtain. That's how the sausage is made.
I love it.
It's a great show for that.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, we just you know, thoroughly bragged on Randy's music, but let's highlight one at a time the other two of you crazy rascals.
It's time for the real bragging to take place. Let me
Rob Paulsen, time to brag on Rob Paulsen. Remind us, well, at least I know you've done a bunch of other characters. Maybe we can get to later in the interview, but like at least specific to Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain, like who all did you voice on the show? Starting with you were one of the famous Warner Brothers, and they're Warner sister Dot, right?
I am Yakko Warner. Hello, Jason. And that is I'm also Pinky to Maurice's Brain, which is quite disturbing really when you sort of cross-pollinate those characters.
Quiet, Pinky, or I shall have to hurt you.
Dr. Otto von Scratch and Sniff, the studio psychiatrist. And that's pretty much it. Maurice, go ahead, regale away.
Well, as you know, I am the brain of Pinky and the Brain, and I'm constantly being thwarted by that inveterate boob, my cage mate and partner in crime. Except when I take over the world, it won't be a crime. And I was also Squid the Pigeon from the show, of the Goodfellas, the three pigeons. That are a takeoff on Goodfellas. As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a good feather based on the late, great Ray Liotta. I did a bunch of the characters the Animaniacs annoy. I was Michelangelo. What have you done to my ceiling? And I was Willie Slackmer, who was a very, very thinly veiled William Shatner as Yakko Wakko and Dot invade a karaoke night. And, he wants to sing Rocket Man. She packed my bags last night. My friends, my small friends.
Nice.
Miles Standish, Richard Burton. No, my PT pajamas. I loved him so. I just popped up all through the show. But Brain was my through line. And what a great character he was and is. So Brain, I got to play him on the.
When I hear you do Brain, I almost sense a little bit of like a. He sounds a little like Kelsey Grammer. I never realized this.
Oh, I never thought of it. It's not been my intent.
No, right,
he's more based on Orson Welles.
Oh,
Orson Welles was the template, and then I added in a little. Here's a Frasier word, a soupçon of Vincent Price, and that's kind of where Brain is. He's kind of placed in there.
Could I have you say Rosebud really fast?
Rosebud.
Oh, you nailed Orson. You nailed Orson.
Rosebud, frozen peas, full of country goodness and green penis.
Yes.
Oh, man. I totally hear it now. But that's awesome. Well, real quick. So I can't believe we have Pinky and the Brain on WTOP. You know, we're in the nation's capital. I'm opening the floor to you. How do Pinky and the Brain plan on taking over the world at the seat of the nation's capital?
Yes. Well, if I told you my plan, I'd have to lock you in the tower with the Animaniacs and never let you out.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, we actually had, you know, during the course of Animaniacs, there were a couple of presidential elections. And I actually wrote a song, the campaign song for the Brain when he was running for president. It was called We Need a Brain in the White House. Remember that?
Let's put That's the right. White House into the White House.
That's right. Put the right mouse into the White House.
Yep. I still have the mug.
Yeah. So
the mug
writing the Brain for president.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah,
maybe
all right.
That,
so
I should be a surprise third candidate.
Yes, if Pinky and the Brain were running for president this year, like what would be, I mean, is Pinky the president and Brain VP, or how do you guys decide that?
Well, interestingly enough, Pinky has a couple of times, Pinky's been the face of the campaign to take over the world because he's just more appealing. People, you know, see that furrowed brow and they're, you know, somewhat distrustful of Brain, and they think it translates to me.
Yes,
so
well, let's be honest,
twice as long at Comic-Cons because people are
Jason,
afraid of me.
Let's be honest. Pinky and the Brain are just silly cartoon characters. We would never think of putting a cartoony type character in the White House.
Would we never?
You know, somebody's just a raging, screaming maniac that we would want to put dynamite down their pants and drop an anvil on them. But
yeah, that's it. Yeah, there's no coincidences or no similarities or parallels at all to a real.
Wait, I'll just say this. I'll just say Brain is actually asking to speak now. He's coming up from within me and he's saying, what makes you think I'm not actually running for president right now? Yes, with my facility for robots and for impressions, you know, I'd be the greatest mouse president that looks like a billionaire you've ever seen. Nobody better.
Yes. In fact, my entire platform, a la the current gentleman, well, that's a strong word. The current.
Yes, gentlemen's are very strong.
Yeah. The same thing. My entire platform can be summed up in 5 words. What am I doing here? That's what I do. Nerf.
You know, Jason, I was saying, sometimes during the show, this is what these guys do. They break out the audience. I actually have to say, okay, now we have to get back to the show because the audience is laughing so hard when these guys riff. And by the way, you know, these guys do some other very famous voices. Maurice is half the voices on Futurama.
Oh, yeah.
Rob is the Ninja Turtle. I mean, these guys have done so many famous characters. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm actually, after this interview, I'm heading over to Fox Studios. We're having our first live table read in 10 years. We're going to be all in the same room and table reading the very first script of the new season. So,
oh, wow. That's great.
Starting the word. Yeah.
Stream, Mo?
What's that?
Be streamed?
No, I don't mean live stream. I'm sorry, I forgot. Oh. I forgot what year we were in. I just meant we'll be live and in person. Like we haven't been in the table reading room in 10 years. There's this huge conference room at Fox.
Yeah.
People you'll be with, Billy West and, I mean, you know, John DiMaggio.
It's unbelievable. Cool. Yeah, we, Randy takes a lot of time with Mo and me, and we discussed Ninja Turtles and Futurama and Ghostbusters and Toucan Sam and
Sam, the Ninja Turtles, Carl, you know, Jimmy Neutron. He was good.
These are all voices we did in other parts
of the
show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
I wanted to actually ask Rob, you were the original Raphael in the animated Ninja Turtles, like the ones that me and all our listeners grew up watching. That was you playing Raph.
It was. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, that was I was the guy who said, does the phrase go suck a lemon hold any meaning for you? Or sweater? You named yourself after a kitchen appliance? It's I'll tell you what, that is a remarkable franchise, Jason. I was just at a convention in Knoxville last weekend with the other three original Turtles. All of our collective age is about, I don't know, 275 years. Nonetheless, Turtles do live a long time. And man, that franchise is unstoppable. I have never seen anything. This is the 40th year of the creation of the Ninja Turtle comic book. And it doesn't show any signs of slowing down. So we're able to incorporate all that stuff into what is our ostensible Animaniac show. And that certainly is the draw. But it's pretty cool being up there with these guys. And I think what's even cooler is looking out at the audience and seeing parents and kids with their mouths agape going, oh my God, this is crazy. And it really is. It's I don't mean to be self-aggrandizing because it's about the characters. We don't draw them and we don't write them. But we absolutely get to see how deeply these characters have kind of connected themselves to popular culture. It's quite remarkable.
Well, I'm just smiling ear to ear because I can't tell you how many times I watched those Ninja Turtle episodes. And you also were in G.I. Joe, weren't you? I watched those religiously too.
My God. Well, thank you for lowering your entertainment standards and probably your actions. But my first cartoons were G.I. Joe and Transformers. And like everybody else, you know, Mo and Randy, and Randy's a musician and a writer, but like Mo and the rest of us, we have live performance backgrounds. And we came to L.A. for ostensibly finding a TV sitcom and or commercials, all that stuff, all of which we did. But man, when you get to work with people like Mo and Randy and Billy West and Tress McNeil and John DiMaggio and over and over again, and nobody cares what you look like, and you are just limited by your creativity and the kindness of people that hire you, you think, man, this is the gig. And I think we all hitched our wagons to the appropriate star, because we're as busy now as we've ever been, which is, as the not a hackneyed phrase at all, a true blessing.
Wow, it's amazing. And Maurice, remind us, I mean, we just named a bunch of the other non-Animaniacs characters that Rob does, how about you, Maurice, outside of that world? Remind us some of the other ones from, you know, Space Jam and everything else.
Well, the one time I played Pepe Le Pew, I was like, I don't really do Pepe Le Pew, but I managed to get in there, and, you know, it was like, yeah, 2 points, my darling. You know, the funny thing about Pepe is that he was actually not very rapey in Space Jam, yet they canceled them for Space Jam 2. I don't understand it. He didn't do anything inappropriate except kiss a basketball. My first regular gig was the chief on Inspector Gadget. Here's your assignment, Gadget. Oh, Gadget. And then onto Egon from the Real Ghostbusters. That's where things really kind of got going, because it was 140 episodes of Dr. Egon Spengler collects spores, molds, and fungus. And
didn't that Inspector Gadget villain, wasn't the villain like, I'll get you, Gadget? It was like a deep voice.
Oh, good. That's a good, that's a very good Dr. Claw, Jason.
There it was, Dr. Claw.
Well, for a run for his money.
Yeah, it's Frank's birthday today.
I got to work alongside Frank Welker, who, hey, it is Frank's birthday today. Happy birthday, dear Frank. And it was your birthday yesterday, man.
It was.
Birthdays everywhere.
Boss's birthday.
And wait a minute. How did you, what was it like doing the voice of, like, you were the, were you the original Toucan Sam in the Fruit Loops commercials?
No,
like, you were
I was the second. I was actually technically the third, because Mel Blanc did like two commercials doing kind of a higher registered Barney Rubble voice. And then they switched for some reason to Paul Frees, and he kind of cemented in the Ronald Coleman kind of, follow your nose, it always knows, Kellogg's Fruit Loop cereal with natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors. And then when he passed away, unfortunately, in 1987. And when I took it over, they had me do it a little faster, that's all. Follow your nose, it always knows, Kellogg's Fruit Loop cereal with natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors. Suddenly they weren't making 1 minute long commercials anymore, so it had to compress. And legal, you had to say all kinds of things in the legal. So the animation you had less and less time for. But yes, I did Toucan Sam, actually the longest of all the Toucan Sam actors. I did it for 33 years, until 2020. And from there, Tiny Toon Adventures, where I did, Dizzy Devil. Oh, yeah, bunny, yummy. and then into Animaniacs. There were about, I think there were probably about 400 other TV series.
Yeah. Well, you were
Big Bob Pataki on Hey Arnold, yeah.
Who are you in Hey Arnold?
I was Big Bob Pataki, the Beeper King. I was Olga and the other one's father.
Man, you guys have done literally everything, and well, you were not Maurice. Around. You were in G.I. Joe as well, right? Weren't you Destro and a couple others?
I was Destro. Yeah, I was the second season Destro. Arthur Burghardt went on a world tour, and in those days they didn't have the technology, so I took over. I am Destro.
Rob, you were, who are you? Was your G.I. Joe characters?
I played Snow Job. With in Hollywood in the 80s was a completely different animal. Yeah, I played Snow Job and Tripwire, and then in Transformers I was Air Raid and Slingshot.
Okay.
Which is now my stage name, Air Raid Slingshot. It's my stripper name. Now, you know what, honestly, Jason, and by the way, this sort of organic wackiness that starts to take hold is what always happens. And that is the beauty of the work that, in quotes, that we've been able to do for you know, pretty close to 40 years here in LA. And when you ultimately get to a place where we're older men now and in our golden years, supposedly, but you know what? It's turned out to be platinum. We have a remarkable experience, and at the risk of being maybe a little too over the top, but screw it. When I was a kid and I used to watch the Rat Pack, when I used to watch Frank and Sammy and Dean and Joey Bishop and Peter Lawford, when those guys would get together and just riff, I loved it. My parents loved it. It was the coolest thing in the world. Now, we're not a bunch of womanizing drunks. However,
speak for yourself.
Right. When you get to see the three of us do our thing, it's not about us. We're good at our jobs. But, you know, Randy writes them. We don't. Mo and I don't draw them nor write them. And to see the crowd dig kind of how we're riffing, it's unscripted. I mean, obviously, we've got some cohesiveness to the show, but it's so much fun. And every show is the same and every show is different. It's pretty cool.
I can answer that too, because what Rob's saying is dead on, right? I mean, we have a show, but when these guys riff and play the audience, because they're so experienced at improv and stand, you know, Maurice was professional stand up. But the other thing I was going to say is that this show is, just went out of my. What were you just saying, Robert?
We're up there hanging out with each other every show while we have a cohesive framework. It's different.
Everyone's different.
Yeah. We just like to throw it out there. And then, like Randy said earlier in our chat, you'll hear songs that got cut. And I'll tell you what, man, Mo and I have the best seats in the house, because we watch Randy play a song that he created. And remember, Randy was a staff writer, which means he's in a little office with a hotel, probably out of tune, in a room with a piano. And the producer says, okay, great. We got this, blah, blah, blah. We need a Christmas song. We got picked up for another season. Got to have this thing. We got to ship it by next week. Write the song. See you later. Click. And then Randy writes the song and he plays it for the producer. And they say, yeah, that's not what I had in mind. Try something else. Look, I got to go. Click. So it's not like you can sit there and wait for the muse to get, you know, to light you up, and your benefactor is just paying you a bunch of money to sit there and write a music. That's when you really get to see the professionalism of what Randy does. Because then he plays the song that was accepted and you A-B him and you go, well, Jesus, how did he do that? The first song was fantastic. How did this one get to be fantasticer in 2 days? It's just nuts. And this rambling excitement you hear from yours truly is authentic. I don't care how many times you do this show, it's ridiculously entertaining.
If this interview is even a fraction of how funny the show is, I it's gonna be amazing. I could just listen to you all riff off each other all day long. It's amazing.
You should hear us with coffee.
This is all before you've had your morning brew.
Most of us haven't had our coffee.
I know, Jason. I remember what I wanted to say. Excuse me. What's really different about, I mean, it's, I do a lot of stage. I know they have to. This is a really good show, but that we are not a tribute band.
There you go.
We are the guys, or among the guys that, and women that actually made this show. So it'd be like if you went to Bugs on Broadway kind of thing, only Mel Blanc was there. And yeah. Chuck Jones was there and Carl Stalling was there. That's one of the things that's really, I think, cool about the show. Like you said, I'm looking at Rob. This is the guy who actually did the Ninja Turtle. He's not pretending, but he is the guy. And
come see the show before we are where Mel Blanc and Chuck Jones are now.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right, Rob. I mean, there's only so much time we can do this so that you can see the real deal.
That's great. Do you ever, one of my favorite bits of the Animaniac show was when you did Good Idea, Bad Idea.
Oh, yeah.
I always stuck with me. There was one that was like, what was it? good idea, playing catch with grandpa. And the guy's throwing playing catch, and he's like, bad idea, playing catch with grandpa. And they're throwing grandpa's bus.
I love the one, good idea, taking a big breath before and then jumping into the pool. Bad idea, jumping into the pool and then taking a big breath.
We weren't afraid to go dark. Do you ever bust that out in these in this tour? Is there ever any good idea, bad idea?
No, we should, but it was Tom Baudette who did the voiceovers.
Oh, Tom Baudette. We'll leave the light on for you.
So we don't want to step on anybody else's voices. You know, we try to break out only our original voices, although I do take one little liberty with Wacko. That you have to come see the show to see.
Speaking of, weren't you for Will Ferrell? Yeah, I mean, talking about doing live action, you were the actual voice in the Elf that did the.
Well, I did the 15 second long burp after Buddy drinks the Coke. Yeah. I did the long burp. They couldn't get an effective electronics. They couldn't engineer it electronically, so I came in and did my patented syntho belch, which is a combination of tuba and throat singing and a Georgie Jessel impression. And it worked. And so they created this character, the Great Wackerotti. They decided that Wacko could burp classical music at the Hollywood Bowl. And I did all the burping. And we do a little tribute to that.
Who does it live?
Live. Come out to the live burping. Well, that's cool. I'm glad that you mentioned the live action. Yeah, so folks, Maurice not only does animation, but also does live action burping in Elf. And Rob, you also did I think you did the Orson Welles voiceover for Ed Wood. For Tim Ford?
Yeah, Maurice. Yes, I did. I dubbed over Vince. I dubbed over Vincent D'Onofrio in Ed Wood, that wonderful scene. And between the two of us, and Vincent agrees, between the two of us, we make a perfect Orson Welles, because his on-camera performance was flawless. He even looked like Orson. Yeah. But with adding in my impression, that scene is the thing everybody remembers, which, by the way, is Tim Burton's best film. I don't think it's just because of that scene, obviously. It was just a great, great picture. I'm so honored to be a part of it.
It was a great, great movie. Martin Landau as Bela Lugosi for the
win. Yes. His best line is one we can't do on the radio, but boy, was it great.
About Boris Karloff can, you know.
About Karloff, his real thoughts on Karloff. I love that scene so much.
Oh, it's so good. Hey.
You're our kind of guy, Jay, because you've got this cultural background stuff in your head, and the little nuances that Mo and Randy and we all grew up, you know, like Mo and I talk about all the time, our go-to media, our Bibles as a kid were Famous Monsters of Film Land and MAD, and the Pythons and Peter Sellers and writ large, the Gershwins and Stephen Sondheim and Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor. It all really, literally, we can say that it really does influence us. And we're kind of we pick up on that stuff. And it's really cool. I you've given us a lot of time, especially for me. You can tell that I was aptly cast as Yakko because I haven't shut up. But it's really a lot of fun, and
your guys are my kind of guys too. Because like you mentioned all those references, and you're rattling off lowbrow, highbrow, like classic stuff, new stuff, and it's crazy. I'm with you. It's weird having all that rattling in your brain at all times, isn't it?
I should say Randy, because he's just Mr. Prolific. He has written several pieces that are proprietary pieces just for the show. So there are Pinky and the Brain pieces, both musical and acting performances without music, sketches. Randy has written for Pinky and the Brain just for the live show. And as my friend Maurice says, as a world-class superstar stand-up, they kill. They absolutely kill every performance. It's really fun.
I can't wait. Well, thank you so much for all three of you for making so much time for us today. We got to invite everyone out to the Weinberg Center in Frederick, Maryland. It's going to be Saturday, March 23rd for Animaniacs in Concert. Maurice LaMarche. Or if this was Fight Club, I would just say his name is Robert Paulson.
That's right. Oh, man.
His name is Robert Paulson, and his name is Randy Rogel. And I'm Maurice LaMarche.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Hey, thanks, everybody. See ya.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right. Thanks, Jason. You were great.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.